Welcome back. It's the weekend kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. Big T Terrence off this week doing some important stuff, probably out there making money, so the show stays on the air. Armando, who knows where the hell Armando is. Apparently he's up in Boise checking out little football and taking his daughter to a concert. I wonder if his buddy Tim Unglesby will tease him about this, since he's always teasing Tim about those boy band concerts and stuff.
And Backstreet Boys. Yeah,
Instinct, you know, whatever the hell he listens to. But lots to get to here. Little UFC talk at the start of the show. And remember, each and every show is brought to you each and every week by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Three locations to get all your supplement and nutrition needs. And Phil, you can attest to it. If anybody needs anything there or has questions, what they want to do, I want to get in better shape, I want to bulk up, I want to lose weight, I want to do this, that, and the other. Whenever you go to any of the Vegas Discount Nutrition stores, people there know what they're talking about. They will get you the right stuff to make you healthier, better, a better version of yourself.
Yeah, unlike any other place where you go, where you're basically just, you got teenage kids there that are there for a job. All of the employees at Vegas Discount Nutrition are certified. They have all passed nutrition tests, and they can't work there unless they do. So you know you're not going to be just, I guess, sold snake oil, so to say.
Yeah, and plus, when you go in there, the most difficult thing that you might have to do is figure out what exactly you want, because there's so much stuff and there's such a wide variety. And, you know, and if it is off the shelves, well, there's probably some in the back that they'll bring right back out, because I know stuff flies off the shelves. But then, and the new store opening up November the 1st in the fashion show.
And I believe there'll be a new store after that, and then a new store after that.
On Rainbow?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. A lot of things it's very, very exciting to be sponsored by a company that is growing the way they are. And we appreciate everything that Vegas Discount Nutrition does for us.
All right, and we appreciate the airtime here with ESPN Radio each and every week. Gives us a chance to start the weekend off. Hopefully we're a little bit entertaining and informative as well. We love to talk about the fight game. And I know before we get into the AFC South here, there's a couple things that we didn't really touch on. You mentioned that you wanted to touch on the Cowboy Cerrone thing.
Yeah, Donald Cowboy Cerrone just signed an 8-fight extension with the UFC. And he had an amazing performance last weekend at UFC 202, stopping Rick Story, a guy that a lot of people were actually picking Cowboy to lose because of Story's dominant wrestling and just the pressure he puts on his opponents in the cage. And Cowboy, Donald Cerrone, has been known to be a slow starter. So a lot of people right from the get-go were picking him to lose. And he put on a sensational show. He fought like there's no tomorrow. Looks amazing and completely revitalized at 170 pounds. No longer has to make that hard cut to 155. I think it's the perfect place for him to be. But for a guy who I hate to even think this, but at like 30, almost 40 professional fights, he's in his prime.
Yeah.
And 8 fights is a lot. Even if you are Cowboy Cerrone, who may bust out 8 of those fights in 6 months. Kidding, he might get 5 in 6 months.
Yeah, this will last him 2 years, this contract.
But still, that's a large contract extension.
Yeah, and it just shows, I guess, how much the UFC has put behind him, that they believe in him, that they know. I mean, think about it. This guy has been under the Zuffa umbrella, when you talk about his WEC days and the UFC, for such a long time. If they didn't continue to invest in him at this point, it would just be ludicrous. And I saw on Twitter that he's actually already, after a fight, he's looking for Eric Silva in Brazil. He said he'll go to Brazil, he'll fight him. You know, Cowboy, I mean, they use this slogan for the UFC 202 fight against McGregor and Diaz, anytime, anywhere, any weight. That's Cerrone. You talk about it for these two. Well, that's Cerrone's slogan first.
Yeah, and you definitely get that feeling whenever he fights. You get the feeling he'd go up to heavyweight or light heavyweight or whatever they asked him to. If you got a fight for him, this guy just likes to throw down.
Now, the thing is leading up to UFC 202, he made quite a few public comments about whether the union be formed with a fighters union, which we know the UFC brass is completely against. And he also made comments about the pay. Was this a good enough contract, I guess? Like, I didn't see the disclosed amount of what he's getting, but it had to be good money because he was complaining. And we saw just yesterday or 2 days ago, it was announced, Rory McDonald, UFC welterweight, big name, probably the biggest Canadian fighter at the moment, not re-signing with the UFC. UFC not offering him or matching the Bellator offer. So you got to wonder, did that money go to Cowboy? What's going on there?
Well, Cowboy is making, I think, like probably, I want to say about 175 when he wins, because he has something around the $85,000, $90,000 range as his purse right now. And then if he wins, he gets the bonus on top of it. So, you know, he's got that. Plus, he's usually one of those guys that takes home the post-fight bonuses. And what does he do? He goes and buys his toys. So when he was talking about the pay and complaining about it, I think he was talking more in the sense of like they're still outsourced and they're not really being paid as employees per se. So when they go to get medical or dental done, they're not getting that. The funniest thing was Adam Hill, who works with me at the Las Vegas Review Journal, said, "I never thought I'd hear Donald Cowboy Cerrone talk about needing dental plans." There it is. Yeah, and he did say that he needed dental, so I thought that was pretty funny. And, you know, like you said, something you never thought you'd hear Cerrone say. But I can see the fact that, you know, when somebody like him says something, it may help those younger guys, those young bucks that are coming up that are making like, you know, eight to show, eight to win, and 10,000 to show, 10,000 to win, because sometimes you only get two fights a year. So where does that put them after paying, you know, travel tickets for their coaching staff and for their corners and for any medical costs that they incur, and then just living in general? So if you don't have more than two fights a year and you're a young guy coming up, and that's, you know, you lose, you're making $18,000 a year, maybe 16.
Any young fighter needs to follow in the footsteps of Conor McGregor and Cowboy Cerrone. You promote your fight, you talk up a game, hopefully you can back it up, and you take fights. You always be ready, willing, and able to go. And that's always been Cowboy's motto. It's, you know, same thing with McGregor. You know, he's going to promote the fight. Cowboy is going to fight. Those are the guys you got to follow in those footsteps. I mentioned Bellator earlier. They had a pretty good card from what I heard last night. I didn't get to catch it because Friday night's my TV night. Did a little Hard Knocks, catching up on that. Really digging that show. You watching that, Heidi?
Yeah.
Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
You liking it?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that Farrow Cooper and Jared Goff need to learn when the sun rises. That was like the first one.
That was
one.
Pretty funny.
I can't remember which right wide receiver it was. Was it Kenny Britt? No, I don't remember. They were driving the golf cart and they tipped it over. That was a scary moment. I mean, they're laughing about it now, but if that golf cart rolls over your leg or you chop a tendon or your Achilles or something crazy, you're gone, just like that kid in Ballers that, you know, he played paintball and hurt his Achilles, and then he's done for the season.
That's another great show. Do you watch Ballers? You don't watch Ballers, Frank. We've talked about this. No HBO because
don't,
you work
don't have
in
the HBO, but yeah. So, I mean, I'll see clips here and there, and I'll see different things. But, yeah, and to your point about that, when people get, you know, people complain. Actually, they more than complain. They bitch and moan constantly about all the preseason games. Used to call them exhibition games, but the NFL thought that made them sound like they didn't count. And even though they don't count, they still want them called something else. So now they're preseason games. But the reality of it is, most of the injuries that happen before the regular season starts, more of them happen in the training camps and doing other stuff like that than actually happen in the games. So, you know, you play one of the most physical, if not the most physical and violent sport on the planet, at least team sport. Obviously, MMA, boxing, stuff like that, you know, mano a mano, you can certainly get hurt. Guys get hurt. You know, if you can't sit everybody out and live in a bubble till the regular season starts, because then you're not ready for the regular season.
Yeah, it's not just Tony Romo who gets hurt all the time, which I hope to see him back on the field soon. I know he's going to be skipping the rest of the preseason, but one of the things
but Dak Prescott has looked really good for them.
He has, and I think we'll be seeing time. You know, he's going to be seeing time because I mean, I want to. Is there a parlay or anything on whether the fact that Tony Romo will not compete in all 16 games?
Oh, I'm sure there is. There's a prop for everything.
Well, I don't think anybody would put it at 16 for it. They might put it at like 12 or 13 or something. He's going to be missing some. And the biggest loser in that whole thing might be Kellen Moore. Armando's boy from Boise State injures himself before the season started, but he was number two on the depth chart. And all of a sudden, Jerry Jones, and he was like, yeah, we don't need to get a veteran. We don't need anybody. This Prescott kid looking really good.
Yeah, and I do want to end this stuff, but one of the awesome things I loved about Hard Knocks was when you had Jeff Fisher talking about Todd Gurley. And no, we're not talking about Gurley Mon over here, Armando, like you referred to him last week. Todd Gurley, I mean, he is like a quarterback. What was it that Jeff Fisher said?
You don't hit him. Don't put him on the ground.
30 doesn't hit the ground. 30 stays upright. And that's what you got to do. You got to protect a guy like that.
You absolutely do. I mean, this guy has shades of Adrian Peterson. When you look at the way that he's a ability to run, his legs never stop moving when he gets hit. He's always looking, you know, sharp on the passes, which isn't something that you can see from a lot of running backs in the league. They don't have both abilities to, you know, run and also catch the ball. And he does both well. And I love me some Gurley. I got a big draft today, so I'm going to make sure that he's high on my list of draft picks.
Yeah, I think he's going to be high on a lot of people's lists. And let's move on to the AFC South and talk about a guy that needs a lot of protection this year. He didn't get it last year, and in fact, it caused him to miss quite a few games, and not only miss games, but it was the first time in, I think, 14 years that the Colts didn't win the South. It seems it's been like that long, but the Colts did not win the South this year. Last year, it was the Texans. Andrew Luck injured most of the year. Do we see the same Andrew Luck we saw in his first three seasons, or do we see Andrew Luck from last year?
I think we might see a better Andrew Luck, but I don't know how much better, because he still might be running for his life out there. He doesn't have some of the weapons that you maybe basically need to win in the football. Okay, they said we're thrown out last year, but they still give him the gigantic contract, which some people questioned after the year he was coming off of. But last I knew, he also can't tackle anybody on the defensive side of the ball. So Andrew Luck might be better. I don't know if the team's going to be.
I don't know if they will be either. What do you think, Heidi? What kind of season do you think the Colts are going to have this year?
I can see Andrew Luck putting it up. Let's see. I'm going to go with about 37 to 40 touchdowns, because he has guys like T.Y. Hilton. Dwayne Allen's kind of a question mark at tight end, because they had Kobe Fleener there last year, who's now a Saint.
I'm happy about that.
But Moncrief as well. I mean, between Moncrief and T.Y. Hilton, I feel like you have a two-headed wide receiver monster there. And those guys, if he just continues to get them the ball, they're going to make plays. They are going to make plays. The only thing I think, too, the offensive line isn't really that solid, as you were talking about earlier, Frank, and Phil, you mentioned it too, if they can protect him. And they don't have enough of an option to go with it running back with Frank Gore, who's aging. And, you know, you always wonder about how fragile he may be and if he has that durability to last the season as well and get more than 3 yards a carry in that meantime to be able to provide enough mixing up in the offense for them just to keep airing it out.
Well, one team that did pick up a quarterback this offseason, the Texans, who did win the division last year. Do you think that they've got their franchise quarterback right now in Osweiler? Because if you look at it, last year they won the division with four different quarterbacks. Four.
Well, I don't know if they do or not. Obviously, the Broncos don't think they do, because the Broncos weren't hell-bent on keeping him there, even knowing that Peyton Manning was going to step aside. Osweiler's a big kid. He's got a strong arm. He throws some zip on the ball. But yet, he was replaced last year in a team where all you had to do was not turn the ball over because their defense was so great, and you will still win the game. But he couldn't read the defenses. When Peyton Manning came in, he couldn't throw the ball anymore, but he read the defense, called the audibles that worked. They won a Super Bowl. They needed a quarterback super bad in Denver. They weren't willing to go take a flyer on him. They tried with Sanchez. Anyhow, we're not going to get into the Broncos here. We don't even know if he's going to make the roster here. I don't know. I think Osweiler's got a ton of talent. I don't know if he can read a defense enough and take advantage of their weaknesses. I don't know if he can do what it takes to win the games. And I also don't know what the status of J.J. Watt's going to be.
Yeah, I think in all, you look at the AFC South here, and this really is anyone's division. Because let's be honest, for years, everyone's talked about the Jaguars. This is going to be their year. They're going to get better. And they never did.
I've heard people saying that this year.
Last year, if you actually look at it, they turned it around on offense. Blake Bortles is good. He's good. I mean, he may have had a lot of interceptions, but he had a hell of a lot more touchdowns. And their offense was on fire. Can their defense, though, turn it around this year.
And that does seem to be the question about their defense. I was talking to Ted Cervansky, one of the finest handicappers I know, and I respect Teddy immensely. And he said, look for the Jags to make a turnaround. He would not be surprised if they shocked everybody and won this division. Because he said what's happened is they've been losing so many years, but because of that, they get good draft picks, and they've been stockpiling picks. And now if they can actually come together and put it together and they're starting to believe in themselves, he's not saying that they're going to be like the Carolina Panthers last year, where they were, what, 7 total at the start of the season, and they damn near went undefeated for the year. But this could be one of those teams that surprises a lot of people. And like you mentioned, Phil, in a division that really is wide open, they can make some noise.
What do you think of them?
I think the division here, you're talking about a division where the Texans won last year at 9-7, and then right under that you had the Colts at 8-8. So they're barely over 500 winning the division. But the Jaguars can really bust this wide open this year. I love the guy that they have right now as their number one wide receiver, Allen Robinson. The guy is like a prototype. He's 6'3", you know, 220. He's got great hands on him. He's a playmaker. Then you have somebody right behind him, the two Allens, Allen Robinson, Allen Hearns. Yeah, Allen Hearns there too at the two spot. And man, he's a playmaker too, not getting fed as much as Allen Robinson, but I think that between the two of them, that's going to be good for their offense. But my question is TJ Yeldon. I'm not sure how much Yeldon is going to be that bell cow type of running back, or, you know, if only we could go back in time and bring Maurice Jones-Drew back into the fold and have the guys that they have now, this would be an all-star winning team.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you talk about the run game, because there's one team in that division that seems to be relying heavy on the run game this year, being the Titans. They've got a running quarterback. They've picked up DeMarco Murray in the offseason. They signed a first-round draft pick in a running back. The Titans, in a pass-first league, seem to be changing that and going the way of the Seahawks, or even maybe even the Broncos, where you're just worried about, you're relying on your defense and just that smash-mouth run football.
Yeah, but the thing is, you have DeMarco Murray there, and like, he was with the Eagles, right? And then when he was in the Chip Kelly offense, that didn't really suit him well. But now that he's over here with the Titans, I think it's a better fit. But there's not a lot of depth behind him. I'm curious, though, to see about Derrick Henry and what he brings to the table. I like that they did pick up Rishard Matthews from the Dolphins. I think that that's another good fit. So they're making some moves. I don't know that they're going to be on top of anything right now, but they are making some moves, and they have done a little bit to improve the team. I do like DeMarco Murray, but ever since he left the Cowboys, you have to wonder, is he ever going to have a season like that again?
Well, and you also have to, too, say about them, it's like, okay, they want to run the ball like that. If they're going to rely on the defense, then use the clock as well. Maybe grind some other teams out, keep the other team's offense off the field. Maybe you can steal a game or two that you stay close in that way.
You know, like we all seem to agree, though, that this division's pretty wide open.
Oh, I think it's completely wide open, and I will be curious to see, but we see a lot of parity all over the NFL this year. Ask me who's going to win the AFC. I can't give you a straight answer right now. Most people still think New England's a favorite, but their starting quarterback's going to miss the first 4 games, for crying out loud. In a 16-game schedule, that's a huge chunk of time.
That's quarter of the season.
All right, weekend kickoff here, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you each and every week by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Stick around, we still got more MMA talk, and we'll get you ready for your weekend.